ABs podcast.
This happened over the last couple of days at our new place in Warana, and it's really, really shifted my perspective about something in regards to youth crime. And I really want to tell people because I feel like maybe out there, and by all means, if this has impacted you in some way, 545-11927, if you've got a kid like this, we'd love to hear from you. But essentially yesterday, husband Alex had a knock on the door from our next door neighbour, this lovely woman, Marge, and she said, you know, I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. A couple of kids tried to break into my house on Sunday afternoon. She said the cameras captured them. She showed him the footage. And there's a kid with a balaclava on. This was like at 3:40 in the afternoon in Warana.
Balaclava?
Trying to forcefully open her door. And poor Marge is inside having a shower at the time. She didn't realise, but the camera captured it. So Alex and I went through our camera footage to see if anything at the same time happened. And we spotted it. A kid at 3:40 p.m. came up, approached the house, went around to look at the door, obviously heard something because we had a lot of people in the house at the time, and he bolted. He was trying to cover his face as well in the moment. And I came, this was after work yesterday. I submitted the video to Crime Stoppers. I posted it in a local community page for Boccarina and Warana, and I just said, just an FYI, you know, there were some kids potentially trying to break into houses yesterday. Left it be. We got a knock on the door yesterday afternoon from a boy who looked a lot like the boy in our video and his mum and dad, and they were distraught.
Oh.
And they said, you know, this is our son. We saw your post. He was the kid in the video. He wants to apologize to you. These parents were wonderful people. Like, they had, with every intention, said, you have done something wrong. You need to face up and apologize to the people that are involved and come and say that to their face. And Alex and I were blown away. Alex answered the door at first. I came out with the baby, and I could see in the mum's face that she was shaken to the core, that, you know, her kid had done something silly, and it was actually to people that had a kid, and she felt that. Like, you could see her demeanor change completely. And these parents, they just said, you know, we promise he's a really good kid. He's just gotten mixed up with the wrong kids. He's made a mistake. They'd been told by him that it was a ding-dong dash situation. And we had to say to them, you know, like, I don't care if someone's going to knock and run. Kids used to do that when it was my age. It's not a big deal.
As old as front doors, the old knock and run.
Exactly. It's harmless stuff. But this, unfortunately, based on the video that my neighbour has of them trying to push down her door, it wasn't as innocent. And they then went and spoke to the neighbour. I'm not sure what happened from there, but these parents were wonderful. They were really, really trying to do the right thing. They were holding their kid accountable. And it's brutal, Mark, because it's that reminder that not every kid that's doing the wrong thing has bad parents.
And I think that's a really important point in all of this, because we've had, I mean, obviously feeling extra fearful with everything that's going on and everything that's gone on in Warana. This terrible, tragic incident. There's teens facing court over this, and it was hideous. That is awful, and that's the last thing we want it to happen to anyone. But here we go. We've got this young kid who's testing the boundaries, probably not as troubled as, say, some kids are.
Yeah.
Thought he'd give it a go because he's got a bit of bad influence. But this is where good parents step in. Good parents, I'm convinced that it's very hard to steal from someone you know.
Yeah.
It's very hard to harass a neighbor you know and know well. And they've just broken that cycle of not knowing. You know them now.
Well,
you know that boy. And I dare say that boy is more likely to go, hey, stop doing that. Hey, I know that people. They're nice people. You shouldn't do that. And as he gets older.
And even the conversation that we had in the moment, you know, my husband was like, hey, mate, stuff's happened in Warana of late. We're a bit on edge. You've got to be cautious of that. I think it really occurred to that kid in that moment too that he puts himself into a position where if you are breaking into homes, you don't know how people are going to react anymore because we are very scared. I put those cameras up after what happened in Warana because I'm freaked out as a parent as well and as just a person. These kids don't realize that they could just be doing something that seems like fun from one of their friends and they could get in serious danger themselves. So it was a really confronting moment. I also checked my inbox last night, Mark. I had messages from parents saying, hey, I saw your video. I think it might be my son. Other parents in Warana who are great parents, who are doing the right thing, who are actively looking out for their kids, who are distressed as hell thinking that it's their child and owning up to it and trying to solve the problem. I'm just devastated that there's so many good parents and it's still happening to them because it can happen to them.
Well, I think we need to think a bit more broadly. Like I don't think locking everybody up the second they put a foot out of line is the solution. And I never have. And I do feel that there's a bit of, we're going that way again where we're thinking we need to do that. A lot of people aren't going to be happy with me just saying that. But at the same time, feel free to give me a call on 545-111-927. I think the answer is exactly what you've done, but keep trying. We can't just give up and lock them up. We've got to keep trying.
I just want all those parents to know that they're wonderful and they're doing a good job and they're trying their best. And I, like, my heart broke for these two. They were trying so hard to make their child realize the consequences of his actions and to own up to it. And I can't even imagine how hard it would be for them. So maybe if you are a parent who's had a kid who's a little bit, you know, they've lost their way along the way and it's turned around or it's not and you need help, like, can we have a bit of a conversation about that? Can we normalize it's not just bad parents?
Feel free to give us a call, 545-111-927. Something that's great, and it's a long chat to have, but is the Dunedin study.
Okay.
Have a little read of that. Look it up online. It's one that came out in New Zealand. They've been studying kids for about 50 years, their behavior, their circumstances. Very interesting take on what we should be doing with kids that start flirting with dangerous activity like this. I think it's actually a good result. What you've had is actually a good result.
I hope so.
It's scary and confronting, but I think it's good. Fiona's joined us from Burpengary. What do you think?
Morning, Mark. Morning, AB. AB, I'm really sorry you've had this experience. It's there's some negative and there's some positive to come from it. I just wanted to throw in there, Mark, something you said that resonates so much with our family is that it's really hard for kids to steal or do bad stuff to people they know.
Yeah.
Every community we have ever moved to, we either boost trick-or-treating or we initiate trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And for all the negative things against that people have against the Americanization of trick-or-treating, in our family, it's simply, there's no other activity that engages the community.
Yeah.
That is such a great point, Fiona, because you make, we've lost that togetherness a bit just in days gone by. I love that. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, it really is. I've just got to throw it out there. Everywhere we go, people are standoffish at the start. We let a drop. We say, hey, there's a small group of us going to come and knock on your door, you know, leave your light on, don't answer, whatever. Give something, don't give something. The kids just want to say hi, and we want to meet everyone in the community. And I can't tell you, Burpengary, Belmere, wherever we've gone, it just flies.
I saw it at Castaways when I lived there, and also in Bligh when I lived there for a while as well. It is amazing how the spirit that gets lifted on Halloween when a bunch of kids are running around just eating lollies, dressed up.
Parents know each other. There's a trust.
But you're knocking on a stranger's door with your kids. You're getting to know someone real quick if they're welcoming, nice, too nice, because they're out there too. It's a really interesting time for people right now. We're getting less and less connected. More connection will help, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure of it.
And those parents, if they are by chance listening, coming to my door and introducing yourself with your child is a step in the right direction.
Love your work.
Honestly, love your work. Huge kudos to them.
Kelly's joined us. What did you want to add to all this, Kelly?
I think, like that lady's mentioned before about Halloween, we've lost a sense of community in coming together to raise our children. I myself have tried as a single mum to raise my children with kindness, compassion, to be good kids. In the 80s, you know, everybody in the street knew everybody else. School parents knew the headmasters. You walked down the street and you were 5 minutes late for school. Your parents already knew what was happening because somebody contacted the school. And I think there's an element of fear in parenting these days.
I think definitely a truth to that, Angela. And I think parents need to be more curious about their kids' friends as well.
Yeah, I myself, my child at 14, I haven't seen for over 3 years.
Oh.
And that's simply because, you know, going through a really tough time, turned to the wrong person for guidance. Mm. And, you know, I would say that I'm a pretty good parent. I make mistakes. I learn from my mistakes. And there's a lot of us out there who are really just trying to raise decent human beings. And as parents, we're just not getting the support from community groups, from schools, and vice versa. The school's not getting support from the parents.
Yeah, I think they're really smart words. Thank you, Kelly.
So complex.
I mean, think about that. His son went at 13. And
I can see how it happens.
Hasn't heard from him for years. Like,
because they meet one person that takes them on the wrong path, and we can't keep saying that bad parents are letting this happen. These aren't bad parents.
Well, I do think that there are bad parents out there, but totally. They're not the only problem.
No, no.
you know, it's much like housing and all those other problems. There's no easy answer here, and just we're not going to arrest our way out of this.
No.
We're just not. Sorry about the hold there, Andrew. Just a little busy, mate. Tell me, what are you thinking about youth crime and some of the stories AB shared this morning?
Yeah, it's look, we saw it. We were in a group living in Sydney, and we had baseballers and footballers that would go camping every now and again. There'd be 60 in the group. Now, some of those, our good friends there, their second eldest boy, no way was he going to year 11 or 12. So he actually found, we said, well, what do you want to do? He's, oh, I'd like building. So there was a builder in his street. Now he's got his own building company.
Yeah, wow.
Schools have to rethink, and same with parents. Your kids aren't going, not all kids are going to go to uni or year 11 and 12. Get it, see what they want to do.
Mm.
We need tradies. Get them out there and busy. Bored brains are going to do bored shit.
I agree. And yeah. Andrew, like I've always thought that those kids that are breaking into cars and stealing cars, surely you got yourself a future auto electrician. I know that sounds bizarre.
No, you're right. They're skills.
But they're skills. They've figured it out before they even got taught it.
Yeah, or a mechanic or anything. You've just ask them, what do you want to do? You don't want to go to school. What is it you like to do? Kids that are on computers, turn them into friggin' coders.
So true. Harness that into good. You're so right, Andrew. Thank you for that, mate. We love your call.
Yeah.
Appreciate your call, Andrew.
Thanks, guys.
Wow. Just wow. What a morning.
The phones have been going off.
Absolutely going off. And you know what I'm hearing is, you know, just a little bit more empathy out there.
Yeah.
For people who might have a troubled kid. It's not always, you know, alcoholic parents that never are at home that have kids that do stupid things, right? So I'm really happy to hear that it does sound like we've got just a little bit more understanding throughout the community. Having said that, we've still got a problem.
We have a problem for sure. But yeah, the parents that are trying to do the right thing, I hope they feel reassured from this morning that they're not being judged because they are genuinely trying to do the right thing. And we just need more support. We need more village.
Jane's joined us from Twin Waters. Here's some of the things that she wanted to add.
I was a sole parent. I raised my children from quite young myself. I had an angry teenager evolving who was punching holes in the walls. I patched a lot of them, but finally he really did a number and I had to call in a tradie. And the tradie, he knew who we were and he didn't charge for it. But I went to the bottle shop and bought beer and I made my son carry that beer in and hand it to the guy. I told the guy that he was the one that had done this to the wall and his embarrassment, and that really settled things down. So I agree with those parents. What a great job they did, yeah.
Which is
I love that, Jane.
There's an element to facing your consequences, right,
totally.
Jane? I think that's what we're missing here. When you take a kid and lock them up, put them away somewhere else, they don't get to see the victim and have that conversation and feel the victim's hurt.
That's exactly right. Yep, I agree. It's the same with road rage. I think if we all had convertibles and we had to eyeball who we were sticking our finger up at, I think that would change road rage a lot.
Perfect. Oh, that's amazing, Jane.
Perfect,
Jane.
Oh,
I love that.
Well
great
done.
Perspective, and I'm glad
thank
that you,
you
turned your kid around.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Hello, Amanda. How are you going?
Hi, Mark. I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
You're good. You're our lucky last caller with seconds to go, Amanda. What do you think about this crime debate?
It's so hard, Mark, because as you mentioned, there are so many levels to it.
Yep.
But I honestly believe the biggest thing, like AB was saying, with regards to community and those other callers, people don't know who their neighbours are because they push their garage door clicker, drive into their garage and they don't step outside.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's true, Amanda. I mean, we got pushed in this direction, didn't we? Because it was like unsafe for kids.
Bring back the cheese platter on the letterbox.
But sometimes I think that whole mentality of keeping everybody safe, inverted commas, has actually made everything worse and made it more unsafe because the kids don't interact with other people, so they don't know what is safe and what is unsafe.